For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com.
Being the author of your life. And I'll start with a quote from Maria Shriver. She says, "Life is so much about the narrative we tell ourselves. It's so much about how we see our choices and our decisions and about how we walk out into the world. The way I see myself might not be the way you see me, but it doesn't matter. What matters is the story I tell myself. What matters is the story I believe to be true. What matters is how I look at my decisions, my lessons, and my experiences, and that I try to look at them in a way that empowers me forward, not in a way that casts me as a victim." We're all natural storytellers. Pay attention the next time you're at a red light or when you're waiting in line. Chances are you'll find yourself right in the middle of a story that you weren't even conscious of. If you pay attention to your mental chatter, you'll find the stories you tell yourself are endless. You're continually telling stories. The stories might be rehashing the past. They might be planning for the future. Or they might simply be fantasizing. We're always telling ourselves stories. When I watch my younger grandchildren play, I hear them narrate their play with elaborate stories. Everything that goes on in their head comes out of their mouth. But this narration aloud seems to end at about 7 years old. And we as adults continually narrate, but we do it in our heads so that we may not even be aware of the stories that we're playing in our head. But every story we tell ourselves influences our present moment and thus influences our future. Our stories can profoundly shape who we are and the decisions that we make. Within our stories are the voices of our parents, teachers, friends, loved ones, and not so loved ones. You might be listening to the monologue of the unloved child, the not good enough achiever, or the screw up. And the more consistent you heard that feedback, or the more you played it back in your mind, the more indelible the story is. Because of our negativity bias, we're more likely to listen to those voices than we are to the wise and loving voice. And we tend to believe our stories even when they're misleading. If we're mindful, we can step back and actually listen to our stories so we can decide whether or not they're true and whether or not they're useful. Many of our stories no longer serve us, but we keep replaying them. If we're unaware of them, they take control by playing over and over and over again in our minds and maybe making us believe something that's not necessarily true. When we're aware, we can choose to no longer listen to them and no longer let them rule our lives. When we're aware, we can decide the plot of the next chapter of our lives. We can't go back and change the plot of the past. What's happened has happened. But we don't have to let it control our feelings, our decisions, and our life going forward. We can get unstuck by pausing and seeing the bigger picture of where opportunities abound. Lori Gottlieb says, "People sometimes misinterpret what it means to rewrite your story. It doesn't mean to pretend that the plot that has happened didn't happen. It means that the story is going in a different direction. So how do you pivot a story? Sometimes the story we tell ourselves keeps us stuck because the story is, this is never going to end, or I'm not going to survive this, or I'll never recover financially, or I'll never get past my sadness, or I'll never smile again because I'm so sad, It's hard to see the larger story when you're stuck in the pain. And I really want to say to people that rewriting your story doesn't mean you have to do it now. It means being open to the possibility that there's more to the story, even if you haven't gotten to the next chapter yet. Now, we tend to take stock and think about the direction of our lives with the new year. But sometimes we forget that we can actually begin again every single day, every single hour, every single minute. We can decide at any time what the next part of our story is going to be. Sometimes we think we can't change until we have everything mapped out. But we can change our story without knowing what the ending is. We can try out different narratives and keep the ones that work and learn to let go of the ones that don't work. This might not be the straightest path to go to the end that we want, but by going this way, we might find that we didn't want that ending anyway. The other thing is your story doesn't have to echo the story of everyone else, because their stories are probably built, according to Rick Hansen, on the lies built into the conventional strategies for happiness. He says Mother Nature whispers you should feel threatened, frustrated, lonely. And culture and commerce say you need more clothes, thinner thighs, better beer, consume more and be like the pretty people on TV. And the residue of past experience, especially young ones, mutter in the background, you're not that smart, attractive, worthy. You need to do more and be more. If you just have X, you'll get the life you want. And the essentializing nature of cognition implies crave more, cling more, it will work the next time, really. So like each of you, I've had incorrect stories playing out in my head for much of my life. And I'm not saying they're gone, they still come up. But I thought I had to know everything and do everything in order to be enough. I thought that having needs was bad, that I had to take care of myself without any help from others. I thought I had to brush any unpleasant feeling under the carpet or it would overwhelm me. My story said don't get too close to friends. If they see the true you, they might reject you. But it was all untrue. And those stories definitely do not serve me. They made me rigid, inflexible, and closed off. The stories limited who I was and what I experienced. So I've been practicing to let go of those stories, but I know that whenever I'm feeling particularly stressed, they come popping back up. Thank you very much, COVID. It makes it much more difficult to let go of the old stories. Grace Bullock says, in other words, stress triggers these stories even when we believe that we've rewritten them. It can almost feel as though they are etched in stone. Even after we erase and replace them, they can still arise to the surface, particularly when we're feeling fearful, overwhelmed, or anxious. So we can't think that, well, I'm going to be the author of my life and rewrite a new story and the old ones are all going to go away. But we can begin again at any moment. I can pivot my story to be more empowering, transforming one-sided thoughts of certainty into a world of liberating possibilities. My new story says that I'm enough as a perfectly imperfect human being. Perfectly imperfect. My new plot says I don't have to correct people or be a know-it-all. They'll like me better if I don't prioritize my relationship with them over being right. In the next chapter, I don't have to do everything for everyone. and I can actually ask for help. It won't make me a bad person, and it may make others feel needed. In the next chapter, I'll be reaching out to friends, lowering my defenses, and letting them see the true me. So those are the stories that I want to live going forward. But I have to really pay attention and be mindful. If I'm not aware of what's happening in my head at any given moment, those old stories are going to pop up and take control. And they unconsciously will play over and over and over, making those neural pathways for those stories stronger and stronger and stronger. So if I'm mindful, I can stop and pause and evaluate the story. Is it true? Does it serve me? Or does it entangle me and limit me? I can think about what beliefs the story encourages and how the story makes me feel. Then I can decide whether I want to keep that story in my narrative or if I want to pivot my story to a better narrative. As I see it, there are six steps to creating a new narrative. The first step is becoming aware of the mental chatter going on in your mind 24/7. Make a list of your top 10 stories. Notice the body sensations that go along with each of those stories. Which stories are yours and which came from someone else? Just getting to know your stories, what they are, being mindful of them. Second is decide if each story is contributing to or undermining your happiness. Then you can choose to continue to live the story because it's empowering. Or maybe you choose to take it off your top 10 list because it's limiting. So evaluate each story and see if it's going to remain in the rest of your book. Number 3, make a list of what energizes you and what really makes you happy. Then look below the surface of that to see what truly makes you happy. Is the nice house a symbol of security? Do the accolades at work make you feel like you're enough? Does recognition make you feel like you belong? Does your busyness cover up your pain? Look at what really, truly makes you happy. You'll probably find it's love, belonging, connectedness. What you're really grateful for having in your life is what makes you happy. And keep that in mind because we're going to need that for writing our story. Next, make a list of what entangles you. What's weighing you down and pulling you away from the present moment? Are you entangled by your projects, your work, your fast-paced way of living? Are the ropes of anger and fear holding you down? Or maybe you're weighted down by a grudge. Are you caught up in seeking money, status, sensual pleasures? Because these are the things that we want to make sure don't end up in our new narrative. So the fifth step is to decide what stories you want to continue to live and which ones need to be rewritten, which ones you need to pivot for the future. And as you write the stories, you want to pay attention to them and build those neural pathways for those new stories. Just thinking about them once isn't going to create the neural pathway to making that be the narrative of your life. And so the sixth step is really paying attention to your body sensations. Because if the new narrative is empowering and uplifting, when those stories are going through your mind, you're going to feel light, you're going to feel open, you're not going to feel the heaviness and the contraction and the tension that you feel with the stories that entangle you. So really pay attention to your body sensations so you can be aware when the stories that entangle you begin to come up in your mind instead of after you've been playing them over and over and over again. And when that happens, you'll take a few long, slow, deep breaths, changing your attention from that story to your breath. And after you've calmed your body, you'll turn the page to one of your new stories. So when I hear the story of, oh, don't pick up the phone and call so-and-so, she probably doesn't have time for you, I can stop and breathe and I can say, my new story is I'm going to reach out to friends. And I do that by really paying attention to my body sensations. That helps, that's my bell of mindfulness to let me know what kind of story is playing in my mind. You know, just because we are natural storytellers doesn't mean we can't learn to get better at telling our stories. Because remember, every story we tell ourselves influences our present moment and thus our future. Each time we tell the story, we strengthen that neural pathway, thus profoundly shaping who we are and the decisions we make. According to Grace Bullock, research shows us that we not only have the capacity to pay attention and to stop the chatter of our stories, but we can also reduce our stress, rewire our brains, and reinvent our relationships by responding to them differently. And that's why we practice mindfulness and meditation, so we can be the authors of our lives.